Good evening. It is great to see everyone this evening. Be opening your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 6. It's where we will be beginning our lesson this evening. Before I forget, next Sunday evening, we're going to have a potluck. Kids are going back to school in a couple weeks, so we're going to have a potluck next week, because we've got some meat and things that need to be used up, and it'll give us an excuse to get together and fellowship. So next Sunday evening, potluck after service is Sunday evening. Ephesians 6. We looked this morning at a parent's role to their kids. When we talk about the fact that parents train up their child in the way they should go, and when they are old, they'll not depart from it. Proverbs 22 and verse 16. And we looked at other verses throughout Proverbs and being able to see what that relationship looks like. And we think about men like Timothy there in 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse number 5. Paul tells him, look, I pray for you. I look at your faith, and I've seen it through your grandmother Lois, your mother Eunice. I know it's in you also. Chapter 3 and verse 15, you have known this from childhood. In fact, those holy scriptures leading to salvation, which is found in Christ Jesus. Tonight, I think about that relationship that really in this is a partnership. The parents train up their children. But children, as we see here in Ephesians chapter 6, beginning in verse 1, Paul writes to say, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you and you may live long on the earth. Children, obey your parents. Notice the place. You remember the place that we talked about this morning, that parents are to bring their children up and train their children in the Lord? There in verse number 4, in fact, fathers, don't provoke your children. Bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord. In fact, that's that place, and it's the same place then that children are to be obedient. They need to be obedient to their parents. Look with me at Deuteronomy chapter 5. This is not a new concept. This is not something that Paul came with here in Ephesians chapter 6 through the Holy Spirit and decided, hey, by the way, kids, you probably need to be obedient to your parents. No, it's always been this way. In Deuteronomy chapter 5, here we have again, the Ten Commandments being reviewed. If you go down to verse number 16, here Moses says, honor your father and your mother as the Lord your God has commanded you, that your days may be long and that it may be well with you in the land which the Lord your God is giving you. Honor your father and mother. Has God suggested? No, it's God commanded. God said, this is what you are to do. This was the expectation that God had, that children were to honor their parents, which means, parents, we have to try to set that example for them to honor. Now, in spite of that, God doesn't give a caveat here to say that if your parents aren't honorable, we pay respect where respect is due. We make sure that we are obedient. Now, you can say, well, Corey, what if their parents ask them to do something ungodly? That's not what we're saying here. God is instructing, he's commanding his children that you are to honor your father and your mother. This is the responsibility, this is the relationship that you are to have with one another. Now, again, you go back to Ephesians 6 and verse 4. Fathers, don't provoke your children to wrath. Bring them up. Train them up. Show them the way. This honorable way that they have been shown in the Lord, children are to reciprocate by honoring, revering, having respect for their mother and their father, to treat them in such a way. If you look with me at Proverbs chapter 1, there are many things in here that throughout the book of Proverbs, this is by no means exhaustive in any way, shape, or form, but there are a few places here that I would like to look at, these wise sayings that that the preacher has given, that Solomon has given. And you think about these words that he has here in Proverbs 1. We're going to begin in verse number 8. Solomon writes, "My son, hear the instruction of your father, and do not forsake the law of your mother, for they will be a graceful ornament on your head and chains about your neck. My son, if sinners entice you, do not consent. If they say, 'Come with us, let us lie in wait to shed blood. Let us lurk secretly for the innocent without cause. Let us swallow them alive like Sheol and whole like those who go down to the pit. We shall find all kinds of precious possessions. We shall fill our houses with spoil. Cast in your lot with us. Let us all have one purse. My son, do not walk in the way with them. Keep your foot from their path, for their feet run to evil, and they make haste to shed blood.'" You know, this morning after services, I was standing back here talking to Ann, and I told her what we were going to be talking about this evening. And one of the things that we were talking about is, not always do parents give the why behind what they do or what they say. Now, if you'll notice these verses here, as Solomon writes, notice that he, time after time, gives the why. But I want you to go down to verse number 16. He has told him, those children, "My son, if sinners entice you," verse 10, "do not consent." Why? Verse 16, "for their feet run to evil. In fact, they make haste to shed blood." He talks about all of these things. We think about places like 1 Corinthians 15, verse 33, right? That bad company corrupts good habits or good morals. We stay away from those things. Here Solomon gives the why. You stay away from them because what they do is they're going to shed blood without cause. They are going to take what these people have. They're going to take it for themselves, fill up their houses with it. We'll have one purse. In fact, we're going to share all this spoil among us. And we're going to run to evil. We're going to do all of these things that would cause us to go opposite of what God would have us to do. And if you look in verse number 15, "My son, do not walk in the way with them. Keep your foot from their path." Kids, I want to talk to you for a second. Any of you ever have your parents say no? Ever? Your parents always say yes? You guys awake? You hear? Okay. Your parents ever said no? Is that always fun? Is that what you want to hear? Do you understand that they want the absolute best for you at all times? That's what they want. We don't ever say no just to say no. Okay? Or at least we shouldn't. There should be a why behind it. Now, are you always prepared to hear the why? No? Not. In fact, we can look at places like John chapter 16. Jesus, on the very night that he is going to be betrayed, has gone through and talked about the Holy Spirit who is going to come. And he gives the reason. Did you know that? He gives the reason that he is going to be the one who is going to judge the world. He's going to convict them of what they have done wrong. And he tells them in verse number 12, "There are many things I want to say to you, but you can't bear them now." Sometimes you have to realize and understand your parents say no. Maybe there's a couple of reasons why you don't get the why. Maybe number one is, we don't have that answer yet. There's a better way that we need to say it instead of in the heat of the moment or the heart of the moment. Maybe we need to phone a friend. Maybe we need to be able to pray about it. Maybe we need to talk it through. The other thing is, not always are you prepared to hear the why. And I'll give you an example. We talked about this morning as well. Parents, any of you ever say when you're about to discipline your child, "This is going to hurt me more than you"? Yep. The realization washes over, doesn't it? Kids, do you believe them? Absolutely not. You are not the one being disciplined. How in the world is this going to hurt you? Do you know that my parents and my dad tried to explain to me the why behind that? And I could not get it. I could not understand it. You know why? Because I didn't have kids. But you know, the first time that I had to discipline my children, You could have seen the realization wash across my face as that aha moment hit home. And I finally understood why it hurt them more than it hurt me when I was a kid. Because suddenly, those words came out of my mouth. And do you know that those three kids of mine had the same reaction that I did as a kid? Yeah, right. We can explain to you the why. You're not going to get it. You're not going to understand it. One day you're going to have children of your own. And it's going to wash over you rapidly when you have to discipline them. It's going to hit home. This is why my dad said, or my mom said, or whoever said, it's going to hurt me more than you. Because it does. It's just a piece of your heart that absolutely shreds when that happens. And it's not that we haven't warned you, and it's not that we haven't told you. It's just that we've been there too. Just as rebellious, just as stubborn and hard-headed, and whatever you want to call it. I've told people before, I was the valedictorian in my class at the School of Hard Knocks. I was stubborn, and I was the one who was going to have to learn it the hard way. Now, I will also tell you, my sister was more hard-headed than I was. I love her to death, but I think she got more spankings in our house, and I think sometimes she wears that as a badge of honor. And I love her dearly, and I'm thankful for who she is, but we grew up together doing those things. Here, Solomon gives the why. You've got to keep your foot from their path because they run to evil. That's what they desire. They don't desire to do what's right. They don't desire to do what's godly. They desire to do what's evil. So kids, your mom and dad don't want that to happen to you. We're going to give you the same warning. Stay away from those people who would cause you to do things that are ungodly. Look with me at chapter 2. Proverbs chapter 2, beginning in verse number 1. My son, if you receive my words and treasure my commands within you, so that you incline your ear to wisdom and apply your heart to understanding. Yes, if you cry out for discernment and lift up your voice for understanding, if you seek her as silver and search for her as for hidden treasures, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom. From His mouth come knowledge and understanding. He stores up sound wisdom for the upright. He is a shield to those who walk uprightly. He guards the paths of justice and preserves the way of His saints. Then you will understand righteousness and justice, equity, and every good path. You see, He gives the why. If you will do this in verse number 1, really down through verse 4, if you will do these things, if you will listen to me, if you will incline your ear, even if you cry out for discernment, if you seek, meaning if you put forth the effort to know and to do what God would have you to do, then look what God does. He gives wisdom from His mouth. He gives understanding. He is going to, in fact, preserve your path, meaning He's going to keep your foot from going down the path that leads to evil, because God's not that guy that's ever going to lead you that way. He instead, if you will incline your ear, if you will listen and follow instruction, if you will seek Him, give diligence to do what He would have you to do, God's going to preserve your way. He's going to help you. He's going to make sure that you find that right path. He preserves the way of His saints, verse 8. Notice what the verse number 9 gives us, the result of all of those things in verses 1 through 4. You will understand righteousness and justice, equity, and every good path. In fact, if you back up to verse 5, you'll understand the fear of the Lord. You'll understand what it is to revere God, honor Him, put Him first. You'll understand what that looks like. And then you receive those blessings that come from Him because you have sought His way and done things the way that He would have you to do. Go to Proverbs chapter 8. Proverbs chapter 8, down at verse 32, he continues, "Now therefore, listen to me, my children, for blessed are those who keep my ways. Hear instruction and be wise, do not disdain it. Blessed is the man who listens to me, watching daily at my gates, waiting at the post of my doors, Whoever finds me finds life and obtains favor from the Lord. But he who sins against me wrongs his own soul. All those who hate me love death. Solomon says, just listen. Blessed are those who keep my ways. We started this year looking at Psalm 1. Blessed is the man who does not walk, take counsel, and stand and sit with those who would mock God, and those who would take them away from God. Blessed is the one who will listen and receive these instructions to follow after God, to obey His commands. In fact, He gives the why. Blessed is the man, verse 34, who listens to me, watches daily at my gates, waiting at the posts of my doors. For whoever finds me finds life and obtains favor from the Lord. That's who he finds favor with. He obtains that favor because he takes action. You see, each time when we think about that why, it takes something on our part as well. We are the ones who have to listen. We are the ones who have to gain this knowledge and glean this knowledge so that we can have this understanding. If you go to chapter 10 here of Proverbs and look at verse number 1, the Proverbs of Solomon, a wise son makes a glad father, but a foolish son is the grief of his mother. Go to chapter 20 and look at verse number 11. Proverbs chapter 20 and verse 11. We talk about having that action in our lives. Even a child is known by his deeds, whether what he does is pure and right. I told you this morning, I'm very thankful for my wife. I'm very thankful for who she is, and I'm thankful for the partnership that we have. Because at times I'll tell you, in spite of me, and I've told you a lot of my shortcomings and things throughout my time here. We even looked at some of those this morning. But I love my kids. And I will tell you, I don't think there is a more favorite time for me. I love to be known as a Christian first and foremost, so please don't misunderstand me there. But when I have people walk by and they say, oh, you're Gavin's dad, or you're Addison's dad, or you're Dalton's dad, I don't know that there's anything better to be called. I absolutely love that. I love to be called their dad. It is something that I will tell you now, I wear that as a badge of honor every day. I love to be called their dad. And I love to be called Aaron's husband too. It's just that when I think about a lot of those kids that we getting ready to start school and things, we get up to the school, and there are kids who, because they run cross country or track, at times will call me coach, but you know, the majority of those kids, they know me not because of who I am, they know me because of my kids and the fact that I get to be their dad. That's a pretty incredible thing. I absolutely love that. Now, a lot of the teachers also know me. And you know what's nice about that? They don't know me because my kid has to go to the office. And I'm very thankful for that. Those things, when I was growing up, my dad, because I was the oldest, instilled in me, because he was not the oldest, he was the second born. And my Uncle Butch was evidently a terror. I thought he was fantastic because he loved me a lot and I was his favorite. Therefore, he was my favorite. But my dad told me when I went to school, I would walk in and they would get to O in the roster, and they'd go, oh, another or, and they would find me. And they would be like, are you anything like your big brother? Because if you are, we're going to have problems today, right now. And you say, no, I'm nothing like my brother. Okay, time will tell, right? Do you know here, this is what they saw in him in verse 11. His deeds. Are they pure and right? Or are they evil and wrong? That's what people watch for. That's what they see. I'm not telling you that my kids are perfect. I'm not telling you that I was perfect. But I can tell you that when my brother followed me to school and they found out that he was an oar, They didn't say we were going to have problems. They would say, oh, you're Corey's brother. Yeah, Adam didn't have the road that my dad had to take. A lot of that was because that was beaten into me. Sometimes verbally, sometimes physically, but that was going to be beaten into me that I was going to be a good example. I wanted to please my parents. I wanted to do what was right. I did not want to have a bad relationship. I wanted the best relationship we could have. I want that same relationship with my kids. I want to have a relationship that draws us closer together, that makes it to where we enjoy one another and continue to enjoy one another. That's the type of relationship that God expects us to have. When children honor their parents and when parents are raising their children and training them up in the Lord, that relationship is a great relationship. And I understand we have difficulties and I understand those things arise. But I'm telling you now, look around this building this evening and think about how many kids, grandkids, parents, grandparents, even great-grandparents that we have represented. It's incredible. Why? Because somebody saw the need to do just what Solomon is writing about. Listen to my instruction. My instruction is going to help you obtain favor with the Lord. I'm not going to cause you to go outside of Him. I'm not going to cause you to do evil in His sight. I'm going to help you. And if you'll listen to me, you'll have no better relationship and no greater relationship than you do with God. And how incredible it is to be able to lead our children down that path. And children, if you will but obey, that's what you will find. Look with me at Colossians chapter 3. We talk about that sister verse, and we've been, or sister book, to the book of Ephesians, and we've been going through it on Wednesday evenings. Verse number 20 here of Colossians chapter 3, Paul writes, "Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing to the Lord." Obey them in all things. Don't pick and choose. No different than us picking and choosing which commandments of God we want to follow after. No, let's imitate God as dear children, Ephesians 5 and verse 1. Let's be those that imitate Him, but let's help others. Let's do so for our children. Children, your responsibility, obey your parents in all things. Sometimes you're going to agree with those things. Sometimes you're not going to agree with those things. But here's the thing I'll tell you. These things would be well with you because you'll be well-pleasing to the Lord. That first promise, as we read there in Ephesians chapter 6, that this command comes with a promise. And we look at that promise, being able to have a life everlasting with God. We often, and rightly so, we talk about God's plan of salvation. And we talk about what it is to be submissive. And that part of the plan of salvation that we submit in is a baptism. When we submit to somebody burying us under that water and raising us back up into newness of life, where the blood of Jesus, by the working of God, washes away our sin and cleanses us. Go with me to Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2. Verse 37, the people ask the greatest question that could ever be asked. Men and brethren, what shall we do? Tell us there's a way for us to be able to be saved. And you see that godly sorrow, right? We've been going through the plan of salvation on Sunday evenings Jordan has with our kids. And oh, it's phenomenal to watch them as that realization, I hope, hits home with them. Helps them to see it and understand it. And so Peter gives them that answer in verse 38. He tells them that they are to repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness or the remission of their sins. You receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Look at verse 39. Peter continues, "For this promise is to you and to your children. And for all those who are far off, as many as the Lord our God will call." His promises to you and to your children. That's a verse in understanding that we can have our sins forgiven. That not only me, so can my kids.
And at times, this is a verse that goes through my head. Maybe we've had a difficult day. Maybe we've had a tough day together. This promise, do you understand that? This is God's promise. This is what he says can happen. That you can have your sins forgiven. That you can have them all washed away. Just like me, you can do the same. That you can have your sins forgiven. There's no greater promise that's ever been given than to say that you cannot go through this life. You have the opportunity to have those sins forgiven, to be right with God. How incredible that is. And I think about the younger kids that we have here, those that are in a safe condition, and how incredible that is and what a position to be in. But if we get out of that safe condition, understanding what sin is in our lives, that we have a way out as well, a way to be forgiven. A way not to have to carry that burden. A way not to have to face those things on our own. Instead, we can have our sins washed away. Our kids can have that too. How incredible that is. Maybe tonight you're here and you're not yet a child of God and you're carrying around that burden of sin. You know, you can get rid of it. It can be taken away. It's all that God longs to do is to have you be in a right state with him so that you can live with him for all eternity. And tonight, if we can help you to do that, we're here to help. Maybe tonight, as a child of God, you think about your life and there are things that you need to change. Or maybe you just need the comfort and prayers of the church because of things that are going on in your life. If we can help you in any way this evening, we'd invite you to come now. So together we stand and sing the song that's been selected.